today on Real Radio.
Does God bring into your life as a Christian people that are broken? Or does God not bring those people to you? I got news for you. If you're spiritual, see, well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm spiritual or not. Well, here's one of the tests. If you're a spiritual person, God will bring people in need to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 today. You know, we cannot be saved from our sin just by being good or obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and only Him. In part 1, we discovered that the church, Jesus style, is a church that's committed to the spiritual welfare of others, a living and loving body of believers, not bound by the law, but a church who is taught by God to love one another as Christ loved us. A church, Jesus style, is also one that actively cares when others are overtaken with sin, because spiritual restoration is the very nature of our ministry. Today, Pastor Jack asks, what would a church look like if Jesus was in control? There is no perfect church because we're not perfect, but we're all in this together, and so we bear each other's burdens as we follow Christ and follow His Word. And now, in his lesson called Church Jesus Style, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, a church Jesus style we learned last time is a church like this. It's a family of others. Remember that? It's a family of others. We should be dedicated, if we're a true Christian church, to others. The ministry toward others, the concern toward others, a desire to take not only those that are here, but what about those who are not here anymore? Maybe some, I hope not any, but maybe some have fallen down and they've fallen away. If we know any of them, it's incumbent upon us as believers to go get them, to restore them back in a spirit of gentleness. We saw that if we're a family of others, we will be a family that is alive, a living body of believers. Nobody wants to be involved in a dead church. There's too many of those around. You want to be involved in a church where God is moving. Yes, it is true. There's things that we can explain to you, but there's, thank God, most of the things we cannot explain to you. Why? Because if we could explain them, then God's probably not in them. We have orchestrated it and performed it and rehearsed it until it's down to such an art that God is not even involved. We don't want to be like that. We want to be a church alive, living, because that's a church where God can have control. And we looked at that last time. We looked also that the church is to be a loving church, a loving body. That if you're visiting today, I would hope, or if you've been coming to Calvary for several visits, I hope by now you have discerned, I trust and pray, that God is showing you that this is a loving body of believers. I hope that's been your experience. It should be your experience. The church is living. The church is loving. We also saw and learned that the church should be legal-less. Not legalistic, but legal-less. Look at the ministry of Jesus and the very nature of his ministry. Was it legalistic or was it legal-less? There's no greater picture than what we touched on last time than the Pharisees, who represented what? Legalism, who dragged to the feet of Jesus, who manifest grace, the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Legalism would have picked up stones and killed her dead. But Jesus said, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That is, go and no longer practice a life of sinfulness. That's a wonderful thing, to be a body so secure in the Word of God. To be a person, a Christian, so secure in the Word of God that you need not, in fact, you even can identify from afar legalism, because it will strangle you. It will dry the church up. A living body, a loving body, a legalless body, and listen, a lowly body, humble or meek. a body that's like Jesus, a church that doesn't see itself heady or high-minded as a church. Warren Wiersbe said, as I was reading in one of his books recently, Warren Wiersbe said that if you've got to declare that your church is the finest, he said, the biggest, the best, there's no one like us, and he said, God's not in that. God will never say those things. Isn't it interesting? Listen, check this out. King David said concerning Saul, we're learning about them on Wednesday nights, Saul was a nincompoop. That's Hebrew for a real jerk of a man. And Saul's being this lunatic in the kingdom, and he deserved, in my opinion, to die several times over. And yet, at the moment of opportunity where David's men could have delivered Saul into the hands of David, who was rightly to be heir to the throne, remember, king of Israel, by the decree of God, David scolds his men for cutting off his robe and getting close to him and taking some of his armament and making a mockery. David scolds his own men because David says concerning Saul, hey, you guys, don't touch God's anointed. David defends the nincompoop. The nincompoop doesn't run around saying, hey, you're not supposed to touch me, I'm the Lord's anointed. David, you don't see David running around saying, hey, you can't touch me, I'm the Lord's anointed. You never saw David do that. It's in the heart of the person who knows the Lord to act as Jesus acted. This is true ministry. So this morning we look to our second point in our study, verses 1 and 2, and it is this, that a church Jesus style is a family that is actively caring. Actively cares. Can you jot that one down? It says this, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you need to mark spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I asked you to highlight the word spiritual because we've touched on everything up to this point in our last study. Spiritual. Here's the amazing thing. That if a church is walking with God and desires to know God, that church, I would hope and pray, is this church that we're spiritual. Well, how can we know for sure? Oh, it's easy. You want to know how? Yes, Galatians 5, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit, which, by the way, is manifested in many wonderful things. But how does it start? Where does it begin? The fruit of the Spirit is, everybody, love. Everything else flows out from love. So if we are a loving church, we will be an actively caring church. Among who? The brethren, for sure. The community, absolutely. Our enemies, isn't that what we're called to do? Is to love them? That's right. But if that be true, if we're going to be actively caring, this is who the Christian is. This is who the church, Jesus style, is all about. And it's this. Number one, we learn that's spiritual. The church is spiritual. That God will bring into our lives as a church broken people, wounded people. Does God bring into your life as a Christian people that are broken? Or does God not bring those people to you? I got news for you. If you're spiritual, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm spiritual or not. Well, here's one of the tests. If you're a spiritual person, God will bring people in need to you. Why? Because people in spiritual brokenness, they need restoration. God will see to it that that broken brother, that broken sister makes their way to you because God wants to use you to restore them in the body of Christ. You mean I'm not supposed to shoot them? Nope. You mean God's not bringing that person in my life so I can talk about them? Nope. So immediately I'm confronted with the examination of my own life. In my life, can an erring or sinning brother or sister come to me and say, I need to share this with you. I got to get away from this. Will you help me? Do you realize that if we, at that moment of invitation by God through a sinning brother, that's what it is. It's an invitation by God through a sinning brother to restore them. It's a test of the body. Will we respond and have them come through or go through the biblical steps, not our steps, but the biblical steps of restoration? May God bring to this church more people who this morning are not in church. They're brothers and sisters who have erred and fallen away, and they're crushed. Well, may they find this place loving. Pointing them to the Word of God, yes. Showing them their error, of course. But not like this, but like this. The great danger arises if we're a church that we begin to think that, you know, we're above all that stuff. There's nobody in our church that would ever sin. We are holy. We are holy. Because Jesus has declared us holy at the expense of his blood. Because that's true, now we are to walk in holiness. There's a holiness that is by position. Jesus did it. And then there's a holiness by practicality, how we live our lives. So there's a spirituality that will emanate from those whose hearts have been touched by God, and people will gravitate to them in the area of being restored. And may that be for all of us. Man, that would be a rich and wealthy church in spirit if that be the case. We want to prop them up, help them, disciple them in the Bible, one-on-one. Get them involved in prayer. Get them back online, doing the things that they ought to be doing. A second thing, I alluded to it a moment ago, is being practical. That if we are a spiritual church, if we're a church that's actively caring, we'll be practical. I like this, practical. Look at the verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens. Two words I want you to know. Number one is the word bear. It means to rush up alongside a brother or sister to lift the weight of the load that is upon them. It's to assist them, to come alongside and, as it were, lift it off their shoulders. The church is to be in the business of heavy lifting. Because the word burden here, and mark it well, because in verse 5, it's a totally different word in the Greek. Verse 2 here says the word burden. Listen, I'll read it to you. It's the word borrow, where we get the word a burrow. You know a little burrow, the donkey, the mule? What do they carry? Things that you and I can't. The Greek word is the word borrow, borrows, and it means this. To lift or to carry an excessive weight that would otherwise crush or bring down someone else. It's a weight that's destroying them. Oh, please don't raise your hand, but has there ever been a weight that you were absolutely certain it would destroy you? Well, I can confess that. It's like, I can't take this. This is impossible. Sometimes there's things that go on in our lives that we ought not to be bearing. We shouldn't be carrying them. It's not for us. Chuck Missler years ago said, it's a great, great quote. It's all his. He said God gave it to him. And he said it's one of his few original thoughts he's ever had. And that's true, you know. If you ever, you know, you can honestly write down original thoughts on one hand. They're very rare. Chuck Missler said, because he was going through a very difficult time, and I'll just say this, it was a very difficult time. Nearly lost his life. And Chuck was so defeated. And God spoke to him and said, Chuck, listen, when you worry, you are assuming a responsibility that was never intended to be yours. Isn't that a great statement? Well, wait a minute. What am I worrying about? I need to write them down. And then I need to figure out, should I be? Because if they are things that stay on the list, then that immediately, watch, it immediately bumps the list over to the next column. That's the way the program's written. If things I determine are not worthy of my worry, but what things remain, they automatically get bumped to the next column. And the next column is, pray about it. You gotta be kidding me. No. Isn't it funny? Can't we all confess that 90%+ of what we worry about never happens? Isn't that weird? What is God trying to tell us? Man, some people keep Tums in business. Melanta. You know, oh, my stomach's upset. Well, I just worry so much. Why? What for? See, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. I could write a book on worry. My mom was so faithful, she taught us in our family how to worry. But you know what? Jesus, man, has broken me of that stuff. I mean, you can ask my wife and my kids, I don't worry about much anymore. Even if it's horrendous stuff, it's like, you know what? In fact, I have found something out. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Forget about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer, but forget about it, and then go to bed. When you wake up in the morning, there's new mercies every morning. When I get up and I go, Lord, remember that thing last night? There's new mercies today. Deal with it. It's your people. I'm yours. Hey, God, do it. You say, well, that's denial. Ah, whatever you want to call it. I love it, and it's working. It's the Lord, man. Try it. Bear, he says, lift up the burdens of one who's being crushed down. Specifically, it would be well said at this moment that in relation to chapter 5, in relation to chapter 6, verse 1, to lift a brother up suggests that he's been just covered in, sequestered by condemnation. He's a brother who has sinned, but he's come out of it, and this so often happens. When you bring a brother in and you encourage him, he falls into a state of being condemned. And you got to talk them out of it. You got to grab him by the ears. You got to tell him, listen, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the guy's like, okay, yeah, right. Oh, no, but what about, no, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your sin from you. Oh, that's good. What about this? Cast all your care upon him, for he cared for you. And the guy begins to get revived. There's hope again. There's people perhaps here in this church, and you've come in, you've barely made it in. You're crushed. You've got this weight on your shoulders. You feel like somehow maybe you have to atone for the sin of the past, not trusting in Jesus' ability to forgive. Or maybe somehow you're on yourself because you're not advancing as far and fast as you'd like in your Christian experience. God says if your heart condemns us, he's greater than our hearts and he knows all things. Just love him again. It's all about you and Jesus Christ. It's not about this church. It's not about this service. It's not about the air conditioning or the lighting or the screens or anything else. It's not about America. It's about you and Jesus. In my opinion, I'm sorry if I make things too simple, but everything in this universe comes down to me and Jesus Christ. He so is into that, I believe, that he suspends the stars in the universe. And I've been doing a lot of stuff lately on this astronomy and what's taking place and all these findings of galaxies and clusters of galaxies. They're saying now that because it's physical, it must have an end. But with all the technology, we're not going to find it. With all the glories of the creation, it's just material matter that he's created so that I could walk out of my house at night or early this morning, look up and see the Little Dipper winking at me in a beautiful sky, and it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's for me. And it's for you. It's all about you and Jesus Christ. Which leads us to this. If he is so in control, and he is, even in the events of what happened a year ago in New York, even in the events that are going to happen, he's still in control. He's working everything out. But we're to bear one another's burdens, alleviate that condemnation, and lift the weight from them that they can breathe again. You and I can get so caught up into a stressful situation that we forget to breathe. You know, that's a medical truth. One of the things about stress is that your breathing becomes shallow until it becomes erratic. You begin to get lightheaded. You don't have the necessary O2 traveling on your blood cells to fuel your system, and you begin to kind of lose it. And it all comes about through stress. As a church, we need to bear one another's burdens. Rush alongside a brother and say, hey, you know what? I've noticed this about you, or I want to encourage you. You look kind of down, and here's the deal. Man, I pray that didn't fall on any deaf ears. We will never make it as a church if we don't get into this love mode. Maybe we are there, I don't know. But the love mode of encouraging each other and picking each other up. Today, every one of these services were packed today. You say, oh, some people say, oh, that's great. Some people say, oh, that's bad. I don't care, because you know what? If I know someone else, that's enough ministry for me. If they know me, I'm enough ministry for them. So let God add to the church daily such as should be saved. It's his business. But here's the deal. Could it be that God's preparing our hearts as a church? Now watch this. Could it be that he's preparing our hearts as a church to get ready for the influx of people that are going to come in the new place across the way in a couple of 4 months, 5, 6, 10 months, 3? Who cares? Could it be? Now watch. Here's the deal. Could it be? Watch this. I don't know. You don't know. You're the one I'm talking to. Well, I'm just hiding out in this big church. I'm just hiding. You're the one I'm talking to. I'm telling you that if you come any more than 2 weeks in a row, you're occupying the seat. That seat should be occupied for a great purpose. Oh, yeah? What's the purpose? You should say, hey, God, what do you want me to do in this church? How do you want me to know you and know these people? How do you want to use me? How do we get ready to minister to the people that are going to come? Now, you're either willing to do that or it's just, you know what? I want my little thing. Think for a moment. If the rapture is going to come soon or if the end of the world draweth nigh or whatever, you know what? Check this out. You and I are never going to be alive like we are right now. Time's running out. We need to do all that we can for the kingdom of God before our opportunity fades. Well, I'm just going to wait. For what? He's already told us enough that we should be busy while we're waiting on him. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me, but I'm not normal. This consideration before we move on, we're to be real. We're to be real. If we're going to be a church effective, we need to be real. That is, we need to let people in our lives. This is the Southern California great scourge, is that we get up in the morning, we get ready for work, we go into the garage, we start the car, the garage door opens quickly. You want to open it quickly when you start the car. You drive out, you go to work, you come back. A few houses down from your house, you press a button. The front end of your house opens its mouth again. The car drives in. The door closes. Nobody sees you. Your neighbors, remember growing up, anybody like kind of my age-ish? Do you remember the olden days? When on Saturday mornings and on evenings, we didn't have automated sprinkler systems. Those things have in one fell swoop, wiped out neighbors knowing each other. When I grew up, we used to stand in San Diego and people had the hose. You stand in the yard and neighbors talk to each other. Can you imagine? Young kids are going, what would you want to do that for? People talked, how you doing, Fred? Oh, fine, Barney. Oh, you know, how's Wilma? How's Betty? I mean, it's just like that. Now we don't have any of that anymore. And churches are like that. Just go in, go in, get a seat, sit down. Don't look. Sit there. Lift your hands. There's the offering, go. He's almost done. Okay, let's go. Go, quick. Get the kids. Go, come on, let's go. Oh, all right. Then you stop at some of the restaurants and, oh, are they from the church? Oh, look the other way. Look the other way. That's wrong. It's wrong. We laugh because we do that. It's wrong. We need to be real. We need to get to know each other.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and we know that life has its troubles, but we can take comfort in the fact that all things work together for good for those who love Christ. Church Jesus Style Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.